On the show today, we have PSEU's Advisors Plus Glenn Frechette talking about these weekly transaction trends they've been doing since COVID began. I think they're on like week 19 or 20 now. Just some incredible information in there on payments trends and all sorts of stuff. And Glenn gets into the details in this interview, so check it out. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program is Mr. Glenn Frechette from PSEU's Advisors Plus. How you doing, Glenn?
Mike, couldn't be better. How are you doing? How are you managing through the pandemic?
We're doing all right. We're taking it one day at a time, as most are. And just, I'm just doing the best we can, trying to keep the kids entertained and keep us entertained. And I think a lot of this work has really helped out as well. So being busy helps pass the time as well. So how about you guys?
Everybody's trying to get on your show, Mike. There's standing room only outside the studio.
We have them lined up on the tarmac for sure. Yes, it's been quite a ride the last few months, and done some incredible stories with some just the things that credit unions are doing, as well as the vendors like you guys are just, you know, just hitting it out of the park. It's just amazing. The stories are just incredible. So just really, really happy to be in this industry to see what's going on and see how credit unions are really stepping up to help out. It's really
well. Perhaps an overused word, we're all pivoting, and a compliment to my competitors and the credit unions whom we serve. You're absolutely right. Everyone is having to think differently, get creative, and do some pivoting on the fly.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, it's been quite the improvisation the last few months, but we're getting through it one day at a time. And speaking of which, you guys are doing something each week. How many weeks has it been now you guys have been doing your transaction trends report? Are we like 19 weeks or 20 weeks or something like that? Where are we with that?
That feels right. March 11th, as many people know, was the day the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic. And we've been tracking the data. Not only since, of course, but just prior to, in order to give us a fair foundation from which to compare.
Yeah.
And we have been publishing on a weekly basis each Monday morning since then.
It's amazing because, every Monday I get this email from you guys, and it's just all this incredible information just on what's going on. So, and having said that, I mean, what are some of the overall card transaction trends that PSEU has been seeing since this pandemic began in mid-March? What are you guys seeing out there?
Well, this won't surprise you to hear, Mike, but each week has produced slightly different results. In the early weeks of the pandemic, PSEU saw debit card spending decline up to 18.1% initially.
Yeah.
And that's in the week ending March 25th. And I think throughout our time together, the best thing I can do is continue to cite specific weeks. Because it will lend credibility to the data, particularly because there has been much change and the information is pretty dynamic week to week. The credit card spending decline was as much as 32% year over the year in the week ending April 14th. But, you know, Mike, it isn't all doom and gloom. The arrival of the government stimulus checks, they did have a positive impact on spending. Average debit card purchase amounts were up 17% year over year in that particular week.
Mm-hmm.
And the volume of debit card transactions has been up 9.2%. And that's also year over year for that same week. In particular, I'm referring to May 17th,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, just ended.
Yeah.
We're trying to stay as current as possible. But the information we do provide to you every Monday morning, the most recent data comes from the week of May 17th.
Yeah. I mean, that's the seventh straight week. Yeah, it's really timely stuff.
Yeah, so the volume of debit transactions overall that we're seeing posted, there are improvements week over week. So that's why I want to point out this isn't all doom and gloom per se. If I can cite just for a second, for the entire financial services industry, balances were down 30% in March on an annualized basis. Now, for credit unions, balances were down 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of that may be attributed to seasonal paydowns. That does happen this time of year. But quite a bit could be attributed to consumers spending and revolving less. So that almost leads me to a broader point relative to debit. Consumers are choosing debit as the most preferred payment form. But that isn't necessarily recent. So sure, you could say Americans stereotypically are debt adverse. So debit is the payment vehicle to turn to. When you don't want to incur debt, of course. But the data goes all the way back to 2018. Just at the close of 18, credit was still preferred. The preference was at about 44%. But one short year later, at the close of 2019, credit union members and financial services cardholders of all types were indicating a preference for debit at 45%.
Wow. That's a big change.
It is a big change. And I think what's important to understand is, you know, oftentimes we like to make a distinction between the elderly versus the millennial generation. But there isn't a dramatic differential between the two. The data indicates that debit cards have been preferred across all categories and in all purchase locations, which would include online and brick and mortar.
Yeah. Have you seen like any regional patterns in the data? I mean, are there any differences between some of the hardest hit areas versus some of the areas that began easing restrictions early?
Yeah, so maybe you've been using the same vernacular we have. So those hot hit areas are the hot zones, the hardest hit ones. Spending is improving, but yes, we are absolutely seeing some distinctions in the information and the data. The credit card spend for those particular hot zones, you may know by now, Mike, those are California and Connecticut, Illinois, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, those are all the hot zones. Credit card spend was down 20% in the week that, again, just ended May 17th. But yet debit card spend was up 3.2%. And these are improved rates over what we saw throughout April. The spend decline peaked at 34% in the very beginning of the pandemic announcement. Credit peaked at 34% and debit at 14.6%. So clearly there is some movement in the information, but I think it's important that I point out a comparison.
Yeah.
There are 8 states that did not have state-level governor-issued stay-at-home orders at all. And those buying patterns, they closely mimicked the overall U.S. weekly spending trends. So let me group together those that did not have stay-at-home orders with what the national picture looks like, excluding the hot zones. So in these particular 8 states, credit card spend was down 11% and debit card spend was up 7%. So it's really interesting if you do segregate the population, you can point to natural rationale as to where spending came almost to a screeching halt in particular categories, whereas not much change occurred in other areas geographically in pockets around the country.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen any shifts in spending behaviors as a result of the stay-at-home orders that were in place? Because, I mean, I know out here, I mean, everything was grind to a halt other than people, you know, scrambling to buy toilet paper and stuff like that. But other than that, it was just a big shock and people were just, you know, deer caught in the headlight for a couple of weeks. So what have you guys seen as a result of the stay-at-home?
Well, this won't surprise you, Mike. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know you have twins, but are you a father of 4 or a father of 5?
5.
5. Okay. Yeah. So I'm assuming you've become a better cook.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So grocery stores, this was the point I want to drive at here.
Okay.
Grocery stores continue to show great year-over-year spending.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, the increase rate for credit is at 15.9% and debit's at 16.6%, again, for information for the week that just ended May 17th. So excluding grocery stores for just a minute, and going a little bit broader and more vast in the category of consumer goods, we see an increase in debit card spend of 35% and an increase in credit at 9.4%. Now, this has led Americans to be nimble, adopt different utilization of technology and spend. And that happens by way of card not present transactions versus card present.
Mm-hmm.
So let me share a little bit of that information with you.
Sure.
For credit, card not present represented 52.2% of overall transactions and 58.5% of total spend for the week ending May 17th.
Okay.
That's a very significant year-over-year spike, and you can see the movement of individuals conducting transactions on sites like Amazon and digital purchasing of all types.
Instacart, in our case.
Instacart, sure. But here's a staggering number for you with respect to Amazon in particular. Debit purchases were up 123% year over year, and credit purchases up 63% on Amazon for the week ending May 17th.
Well, congratulations, Jeff Bezos. My gosh.
Yeah, this is just a gift that keeps on giving, and the rich get richer, I guess.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the way it's working right now. It's just where you are in history is just so telling. Oh, my gosh. All right, yeah. So I'm going to talk post-COVID world here. So what do you anticipate as in regarding permanent shifts in consumer behavior as part of our new normal? What's going to stick here as far as payments go?
Well, credit unions are having to make alterations to their own staff and how branches will conduct business going forward. So as fewer members visit branches, there's an opportunity for credit unions to elevate their digital banking offerings and all solutions for their members. And I think it'll be incredibly critical for credit unions to adopt more self-service tools.
Mm-hmm.
Members are ready for this. And
yeah.
We've actually conducted a survey very recently to understand the willingness for members to embrace technology that they had not before, either because there was some resistance and it was easier to conduct transactions in person.
Yeah.
Or there was also this sentiment that they were simply unaware that their credit union offered such sophisticated tools. So this represents an opportunity for credit unions to do some awareness campaigns and do some educating.
Completely.
I think more about those permanent changes you just asked about, and I think contactless is a good example to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We do see, as more members and consumers at large, for that matter, Americans, being reticent to engage in cash, handling of cash. So to the extent that contactless gains popularity, we think so. And we have to be poised as a company, and we are,
mm-hmm.
for our credit unions to produce these contactless plastics.
Right, right.
In fact, it's our expectation that by year's end, we will have met the request of 140 of our credit union owners.
Really?
Representing over 3 million members that will be holding a contactless card for the first time.
Good, yeah, because I think, I know in my case, when my credit union is kind of capturing the trends and actually executing on them and stuff, I get the feeling that my credit union gets it. And mm-hmm. they get the trends, they get where the market's going. And in regards to payments, I mean, credit's got to get, they got to do this type of stuff to remain relevant and to remain, I guess, attractive to their members out there. Because if they're not, you know, they're going to go elsewhere. I mean, we've heard this story many, many times pre-virus. So it seems to be more important now than ever to offer these things.
Well, you're right. A contactless would be one example. The ability to conduct transactions with a mobile device more frequently than before.
Mm-hmm.
We expect that to also increase in popularity and usage.
Yep, yep.
And that's really incumbent upon the merchants too to turn on their NFC functionality because they have to be able to accept the form of payments that members are going to demand.
Yep.
When members get back out into a retail spending level of comfort, in physical stores and such. And digital banking is another one, Mike. you know, the ability to conduct transactions via an online provider is critical. And I would encourage credit unions to begin to investigate whomever it is that is the provider of service today, mm-hmm. and determine whether or not that provider of service is meeting their needs. And if not, it's a highly competitive environment where there are excellent, outstanding players in the online banking space.
Yep.
And for those keeping score at home, I've not done one shameless plug to this point, but here is the first. And this isn't something that we often do, where we'd use a forum for advertisement purposes, and I won't, Mike, but Lumen Digital is a PSCU company. And we have been incredibly busy at the moment demonstrating to credit unions how we can help.
Yeah, no doubt. And getting back to the retailers part, I mean, I'm consciously, I go to very few places, obviously, when I go out to go do shopping or whatnot. It's like the grocery store, maybe the pharmacy, that type of stuff. But I will go to where I can use this, you know, to where I don't have to touch anything. And it's even more so now. Before the virus, it was kind of a cool thing to do, but now it's a necessity. And so I'm going places where I can use this little puppy right here, so I don't have to touch anything. And it's so convenient. It's awesome.
We concur.
Yeah.
And I would also say, Mike, there's going to be a mad rush for credit unions to want to marry up best-in-class service providers with their needs in short order, so that you should expect the backlog to be pretty significant for all of the providers of service across the United States. So my encouragement for your listening audience, knowing that resources could become scarce, is to do some investigation as quickly as possible on the options that are out there.
No doubt, no doubt. And I'm going to round out the interview with, so how long are you guys going to keep doing the weekly transaction trends report? And then the second part of that question is, where can we find, do you have them archived somewhere on like PSCU site or something, or where can we find this?
So sure, let me start with the latter part of the question. We do have a microsite on PSCU.com where this entire library or repository of information is housed. And until they fire me and tell me I can't produce these publications on a weekly basis, for the foreseeable future, Mike, with no end in sight, we intend to keep doing so.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, from my point of view, keep doing them, because the information in there is just, it's so great. So I'm so glad you guys are doing this type of stuff. It's really important. So good stuff, sir. Anything else to add here, Glenn, to wrap up?
No, I don't think so. Again, I joked when we started that there is a line around the building trying to get on your show. So the fact that you allowed us in, we do appreciate it.
And oh, my gosh.
Thanks for, you know, giving PSCU a chance to get a little airtime with you.
Anytime, guys. Anytime, you guys are welcome. Anytime. Just, I mean, what you guys are doing out there and other companies out there for credit unions, so credit unions can serve their members best they can, is second to none. It's just, it's amazing to see what's going on out there, how people, wherever they are stepping up and serving. It's just, it's phenomenal. So it's just really cool that you guys are right there in the mix as well. So we're happy to have you on to share your story as well.
Thank you, Mike. Have a great week.
And you as well, sir. Thanks again, Glenn. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Take care.